Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Let's go!
From the IMLD home studios, in its ninth season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Your football party is live with your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Trini. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
What are you getting for Christmas?
I don't know.
What do you want?
Fidgets.
You want what?
A puppet.
Well, I didn't understand what you said. You want what now?
A puppet.
Oh, a puppet. Oh.
A puppet.
Oh, a pop. What is a puppet?
It's where you like pop it and then you flip it over and then it pops again.
Oh, okay. I'd never heard of that one. That's the popular toy, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to go. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A puppet. Go to bed, sweetheart. Hello, I'm here.
Hello. Yeah, I thought she said puppet, and then she explained it was actually poppet. Because that made...
Yeah, it's...
It made too much sense.
It's a little fidget toy, and it's this. Okay. I think it's like you have one in your room. Yeah, I know you have one. We got it for you, but they're so silly.
Yeah, the big one, the $30 one.
Okay. Good night, sweetie. Now she's trying to have a whole conversation with me, and I can hardly hear her. She's like, "Go on to bed." Love you, sweetie. She's trying to tell me the life story of the poppet, like that I bought it for her. I'm like, I know I bought it for you. I was there. Well, whatever. Go to bed, sweetheart. All right. Hey, how you doing? Happy belated birthday, old man.
Thank you very much. Respect your elders.
That's right. Yeah, for two weeks, you get to enjoy being 46 for 2 weeks.
It was going to make too much sense that when she said that she wanted a puppet for Christmas because it was something I've heard of before.
I was like,
oh, that makes sense. Okay,
yeah.
Puppet. No, poppet. It's something that I haven't heard. Oh, okay, that makes much more sense. I'm so out of touch now. These kids, whatever they come up with, it's guaranteed. I've never heard of it, so puppet was going to make sense. I've heard of puppets, but it's not a puppet. It's a poppet.
It's basically a different take on like a fidget spinner, you know, another thing that we didn't have when we were kids. You know, because the kids who needed the fidget spinners at our school were all on the first floor.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So,
we start having holiday flashbacks and Christmas thoughts and flashbacks to our old times, and we start thinking about our Christmas programs and being indoctrinated at Skinner with all the Christmas songs. And
wait, jingle bell. Just start doing it. You just started doing
it. Start snapping your fingers.
Snapping your fingers and rocking back and forth. We got to get Renard on the show. Send us all into like the Pavlov dog thing, you know?
That's right. Ruin all the counseling that we've had trying to get that out of our heads. Just put us right back out in the same auditorium with Miss Stuber and
doing
all the other people.
Same songs every year.
Yep.
The same. Yeah. But hey, we got to go downtown to the bank and we got McDonald's cheeseburgers, so we were all happy.
Daddy, why do you know White Christmas in sign language? Oh, it's a long, long story, honey. Oh, my gosh. Long story. Bad flashback.
Oh, man. Yeah, and now it's all of a sudden like, yep, I still remember some of it. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Those are memories that will never go away in some cases, unfortunately.
Yes. Many years of therapy will never countermand that.
If you haven't figured it out yet, you are listening to the only football show that will take you back to your Christmas assembly days and remembering the songs that you were forced to memorize when you were 6 years old. This is indeed In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We are here with you live on a Thursday night, December the 23rd, 2021. I'm Dre. He's Jay. We're here because tomorrow's Christmas Eve and Jay the Family Man will not be available then. The next night is Christmas night and neither one of us will be available then. And so we are getting our week 16 preview and week 15 recap out of the way here tonight on the 23rd, one day after my 46th birthday, as you just heard. And really extra special unpreparedness to this show tonight that I've, not only that, just basically finished trying to figure out who I want in these games coming up, which is so difficult because half of them I don't know who's going to play because of all the goop outbreaks. But on top of that, I know there's a game going on that we picked before we came on the air, that we picked several hours ago, and I haven't seen a second of it because as soon as I got home from work, my wife threw me in the car and we went and dropped off Christmas dinner at her uncle's house, which is 30 minutes away from here. So I got back from that, immediately started cramming and trying to figure out who I want in these games. And by the time I finished that, it was time to start the show. And so I literally have no update at all for the San Francisco Tennessee. San Fran Indy game that we picked.
Tennessee just scored a touchdown. And pending the extra point, we'll tie up the game at 10.
Ah.
So that
okay,
was
so I didn't miss
touchdown.
A lot of scoring.
No, Tennessee touchdown is about to make it 10-10 if they get the extra point, which isn't the automatic that it used to be.
Well, this is true.
And the extra point is good. And it's 10-10 San Francisco halfway through the third quarter.
Okay, it's shaping up to be a good finish in that one. You might be keeping an eye on that as a football fan while listening to us live, for those of you listening live. And if so, thank you for joining in and listening to our pre-Christmas broadcast. Yeah, Jay, all this craziness that happened last week, and there's going to be more craziness this week, but I don't know if it's going to be quite as bad as last week with the games being moved and the schedule being switched around. And after all of that, what happened? We both split them right down the middle,
you know, and that was classic us having a week where we disagree on 10 games and that's old school. That's what we used to do when we would disagree on 10 games is we'd split them right down the middle, 5-5, no pushes. So yeah, we each get 5 so we can each claim geniusness over the other, you know,
we each hit our lock.
That's right. We both hit our lock, although mine was about as cheap of a lock cover as you can get, but I will take it. Buffalo had no business covering that number, but they passed up the field goal that would have put them up. It would still would have put the game out of reach, and it wasn't even a long field goal, and they went for it on a 4th-and-2 and scored a touchdown to cover the big number. So I was like, okay, thank you. I was happy they did it, but that felt like somebody had money on that game.
Maybe some money sticking out of some coaches' pockets there, trying to cover that number.
Yeah. You danced on the grave of the Jaguars, and I thought that they would get the dead cat bounce from. Nope, they're even man. That's just a wreck.
That cat is dead. It is ripped in pieces. It is buried. The fur is flown, and there is no bouncing that cat. That cat is flat in the road.
Yeah. The Jags, they're done.
Yeah, completely. That's our week 15 breakdown, and on to No, it was, yeah, there was a lot to unpack that, sure, what to make of all of it. Yeah, that Buffalo one, that's just, did that engender any confidence that they covered that number, or is that just them stepping on another bug with the Panthers are not very good?
No, no, and they were fully in control of that game. It wasn't like Buffalo ever, you never watched that game or was if you're following that game, you never felt like it was going to be anything other than Buffalo winning. It just became, can they cover the two touchdowns? Can they cover the big number? And it didn't. It looked like they weren't going to until the final 2 minutes, and then they score the touchdown to put it out of reach and to give me my lock. You know, and I believe we agreed on that one, right?
We crapped on each other's lock last week
okay,
a little
so
bit.
Oh, okay, so we both crapped on each other's lock. So you had Carolina, and I had the Jags, and we both lost. But the other person got their lock. So hey, good for us.
Yeah, poor Cam. I thought Cam Newton, and I've been the one saying that this is not the right use of Cam Newton this whole time. I think Matt Rhule is throwing Cam out there as a full service quarterback, which he just not. He is it no longer. He may be at some point again if his arm, you know, completely comes back, but I don't think that's really going to happen. I think he's just gotten beat up too much and aged out of the position, playing it the way that he used to be able to play it. That MVP Cam he's not walking through that door. If you keep him around as Superman and put him in there in goal line packages, I think that's the best use of him, but they're not doing that right now. And I guess I thought that they could at least stay within two possessions by sort of curtailing what he can't do and accentuating the strengths, because it's kind of obvious what his weaknesses are nowadays. But they haven't done that, unfortunately.
Yeah, getting Cam Newton to score from the 1 yard line, you know, doing the Superman play, isn't the hard part. The hard part is getting to the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
and that's what Carolina is just not very good at. When they get him down there, he converts. He's virtually unstoppable. He's bigger than most of the guys trying to tackle him, and he clearly can get in there. But the rest of it, the between the ones, the quarterback play is where he's been lacking. And it's been, and that's one of the reasons why I picked against them and locked that up, because you can clearly see that Cam is under another game, under 5 yards per attempt, which is just miserable.
Can't do that. Can't play football like that.
And he's their leading rusher.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to work out well that way at all. So that was your lock. And then my lock with the Texans over the Jaguars. You mean the same OC in Jacksonville, Darrell Bevell, the same guy that has his offense playing so awful, didn't make the difference? He didn't make the offense better after Urban Meyer got shit canned?
Yeah.
Really? What?
I guess not. Yeah. I was looking at this today. The Jags have had three teams that have outscored them by more than double this season. That's an NFL franchise. There are three teams in the league who have outscored the Jags, have more than doubled up the Jags' offensive production scoring-wise this season. That blows your mind.
That's an NFL franchise. Purportedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's so sad because we're, 5 years removed from them playing actual meaningful football. And when they had that world-class defense, and they are just, they're a wreck right now. They have that.
That feels like 30 years ago.
And they're going to be picking
team
top,
in the AFC title game.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, and they got number one last year, and they're going to get number one again. I don't think they're taking another quarterback. That would be would be funny if they did.
No, you feel like that would be, you know, if I'm the Jags and I'm trying to build a franchise around Trevor Lawrence, I hate to say it, but that's not a skill position type thing. This to me feels like you get the beef. It's not a sexy pick, but you got to get some beef either up front or on the defense. I don't think you just go and get them a receiver or a running back when there's so many. in these drafts. Or if you're sitting there at number one and you already have the quarterback, that you can get a hell of a haul trading out of that pick, which I might be tempted to do if I'm the Jags and you got somebody who needs a quarterback. We know how these teams all lose their mind for a quarterback, right?
Oh, absolutely. So, if they're willing, Jadcon and his people, if I'm the Lions,
I'm putting together a package.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be in the hunt.
You know, and the Lions might not have to put together that big of a package because they might be picking two.
Right.
So there's a chance if the Jags hold at one that, you know, but the reason you do it if you're Detroit and you flip-flop the pick or you do something is because you're more worried not so much about who the Jags are going to pick, but that somebody else is going to, you know, jump up and kind of ape your pick.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even know who that quarterback is going to be that is going to emerge in the next few months as the gotta-have-it, can't-miss prospect.
This doesn't seem like the strongest quarterback class to me.
But it doesn't matter. By the time the draft comes, the hype will have been pushed to the moon so high that somebody is going to emerge. You can't miss on this quarterback. The North Dakota State superstar that followed Trey Lance, it's going to be somebody you never heard of, and all of a sudden he's going to be the guy that you have to have. He can't miss. He went to the combine, and he just showed everybody what he's got, and now he's definitely consensus the number one pick in the draft.
We both talked about our locks. We probably shouldn't spend too much more time talking about the Texans or the Jaguars.
I want to mention that that was my second time this year I realized locking in the Houston Texans.
Yes, the first time didn't go so well.
The first time didn't work, and I got away with it this time. This time I cashed. So I was very happy that I went to the well again with that. The Texans did not deserve to be locked ever this season, but I did it twice. And the first time was an abstract failure. But this time I got it done thanks to the awful Jacksonville Jaguars, who are an even bigger failure. And one other thing I wanted to mention, speaking of the Jaguars, is I'm a winner, baby. I told you at the beginning of the season, whatever the Jags were, minus whatever, to not make the playoffs seemed like easy money. And they were, I think, the first team eliminated from playoff contention, like not even last week, but the week before. They went down in flames behind Urban Meyer, as I figured they would. And that was so easy. That was nothing I saw on the board as far as, there were other teams that were locks to not make the playoffs like the Jets and the Lions and whatnot, but their odds were so astronomical. But the Jaguars were actually within reason to me, and that was the little $10 free bet that MGM sent me online for opening my account. And I said, yes, all in, all 10 bucks on Jags do not make the playoffs, and I am a winner for that. And I think everyone should have been a winner because that was easy money. So thank you. Thank you, Urban Meyer. Thank you, Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you, Shad Khan. Thank you for being the absolute shit stain organization that you have always been and continue to be. And I think that's an easy bet next year as well. I don't even know who they're bringing in as a coach, but I think that's another easy bet.
And now to go back to that show, which would be our season preview show when we were touching up on all of those numbers, I believe my two more controversial ones were might have had the Steelers out, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I had them, but I know I had the Seahawks out, and that was the one I wished I would have put some money on, because that one actually would have won me some money. That wouldn't have won me 10 bucks.
No, but the controversial part, I think, was you had them last in the division, and that just kind of blew me away.
You kind of side-eyed me on that one, and there they are. I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah, you're right. I always try to keep that season pick sheet that I write down by hand because I'm old. And I always try to keep it nearby, and then I always lose it and misplace it anyway. So it's around here somewhere. And I think you have them on your phones, what we picked in the preseason.
I do. I have it right. Well, maybe not. Oh, here it is. I did have the Steelers out. So I had the Steelers and the Seahawks out of the playoffs this year.
Wow. Sure did.
Okay.
Yeah, you had your division winners were KC, Cleveland, Tennessee, and Buffalo. And I was with you, except I had Baltimore in the AFC North instead of Cleveland. But we had the same division winners other than that in the AFC. And then our wild cards, that we both had the Clippers, and you had the Ravens and Colts, and I had the Patriots and Steelers. So that's we had some interesting picks there, and most of them are looking really good still. And the Steelers are even trying to fight back.
Cardinals, I don't think we had the Cardinals in.
Oh, I know I didn't have the Cardinals in.
That's the one. I had Dallas to win the division. That was my one hot take on the East, and you had Washington to repeat, I believe.
Yeah, I think mine was hotter than yours. I think the Cowboys were definitely the people's favorite there.
The consensus.
Yeah, I was trying to be cute.
So, not really sure where you want to start. With the rest of the games, I've my thoughts. So I don't know if there was a game that really stood out to you, because there were a lot of interesting, compelling games. There was a team we swore we weren't going to talk about anymore this year that jumped up
here
and punched someone in the face.
Here they come again.
Oh, man.
The Steelers will not go away.
Oh, not just – no, I was talking about the Lions.
Okay.
We danced on their grave, right? Hey, you guys got your win. That's cute. Now we don't have to talk about you anymore. And they didn't just beat the Cardinals. They whooped them.
They housed them.
Yeah. I mean, to be that big of an underdog and to have that big of a win, I mean, when you're coming from, you're a 12-point underdog and you win by 18 – that's not historic, like when we had that Buffalo-Minnesota one a few years ago.
It's not far off. It wasn't that far off.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was also the margin of victory in that Buffalo-Minnesota one. Like 5 touchdown crazy.
Right.
Where it was like the biggest blowout by more than 2 touchdown underdog, like ever.
This one wasn't ever.
This one wasn't quite a 2 touchdown dog. But this is a team that was, one win, one tie, and lost all the rest, beating a team that looked like it was on cruise control going to the playoffs, and maybe that was Arizona's problem.
I mean, that's the only takeaway from that game to me is just the big question about the Cardinals. It's not about the Lions. Lions compete, they fight, they bite kneecaps. We talked about that ad nauseum. The only question is the Cardinals. Will they slough off and fade away after taking the L like that to the Lions, or will they look at themselves and say, oh no, we can't go out like that. We gotta be better than that. Cause we've seen both. We're old enough that we've seen both. We've seen surprise teams like this. And I consider the Cardinals a surprise team. I thought a lot less of them than you did before the season, but I think we both agree that for them to be in this spot where they looked like they were going to run away with the division and now it's actually a fight again, but they still could win the NFC West. That is a surprise. I don't think a whole lot of people had them fighting for the top of the conference by this point of the season. But we've seen surprise teams emerge so many times throughout the years, and we've seen them go both ways. We've seen them take a bad L from a bad team and then springboard off of that to have a big, long playoff run. We've also seen them completely crumble and go, oh, well, maybe we weren't as good as we thought we were. You know, a little bit of an imposter syndrome. That's the only question. The Cardinals got totally ran down by a total no-name running back. That's a real bad trend to have something like that happen. The Cardinals getting run over lately by running backs that you never heard of. I don't know which way they're going to wind up going, but that's the only real takeaway from that game. I don't think that game was an indication that the Lions are secretly some superpower that's about to emerge and threaten the NFC in the future.
Although, if I'm the Lions, I would have probably inked Dan Campbell to a 3-year extension at halftime.
Just based off of that?
Because, I'll tell you what, we've knocked the Lions this year, ankle biters, they made the coach cry, all that stuff. They clearly play for this guy.
They're still trying. There's no doubt.
They're still trying. They're still fighting. They're playing for a coach. They clearly believe. They just don't have the talent. They're just bad. They're bad at football. But when you have a team that's that far down, I mean, they're not the Jaguars, I take the Lions over the Jaguars right now if they play dead to head. I mean, they're still clearly competing, and that goes to coaching, right? And to show up in a game like this, Jared Goff looked competent. He threw 3 touchdowns. He was clean. No-name running back runs all over the Cardinals. The Cardinals' feeling to me, I remember even going back to the season preview, was I expected them to graduate this year from fun bad to fun, right? They shot out of the gate, and they were winning all these games. They won a game they should have lost. They lost a game they should have won. So you can flip-flop the Green Bay and Minnesota things. So that comes out in the wash. So they still ended up with the right result, just probably in the opposite games. They've got that Pittsburgh vibe to me right now. They remind me of last year's Steelers. It's like, okay, now we're starting to get into the crunch time and are getting a little exposed here. And that's what I'm starting to wonder about, because that's two L's in a row for them.
Mm-hmm.
And two L's that they didn't look particularly good.
Yeah, that imposter syndrome possibly coming up for the Cards. So they haven't looked on all cylinders basically since Kyler Murray went down with injury five, 6 weeks ago. They had some impressive outings with Colt McCoy as the backup, but he also had some L's as well. So it was a mixed bag with him. And then Kyler finally made his big return. We had those couple of weeks where it looked like he was ready, and then not quite. So he's going to sit out another week and sit out another week. And then he finally comes back. And, he hasn't looked quite the same. He and there's a couple of quarterbacks around the league that don't quite look right. He and Dak Prescott leading the way, and then Lamar Jackson was the king of all of them before he had to sit out last week with his ankle injury. Kyler's right there with those guys as, like, something's off. And it doesn't take much in the NFL for a quarterback to, if he's off, then that just torpedoes everything. You have to be on, and you have to be, perfectly on. And you even saw, with the GOAT, with Tuomi on Sunday night. When you're just a little off, it can look really bad. And
Especially against the team that eats your lunch, the way that the Saints just, I don't know what it is, but if you're Tampa right now, and you're going to make the playoffs, you're going to win the division, but man, I guarantee you they're all sitting around just hoping and praying that the Saints don't sneak into whatever slot would be playing against the Bucks.
And because you absolutely called that.
That's one where strained my elbow and my shoulder, patting myself on the back for that one, because that's been his sort of bugaboo. That's been his like nemesis matchup since he's gone over to Tampa. And New Orleans has had his number, even in the playoff game, for 3 quarters. That was just Drew Brees, falling apart before our very eyes. They were giving it to Brady pretty good. But to shut him out was – that's impressive.
That was a shocker. The 9-0 victory by the Saints, they didn't exactly light up the scoreboard, obviously. But that's all they needed. They only needed a field goal to win that game. Now, Tuomi got busted in the fucking mouth all night long, particularly on third down. Cameron Jordan lived in the backfield. This is one of those divisional matchup deals where clearly there's a matchup problem and it can be exploited every game. So that's twice a year that you can get a little bit of an edge or betting edge. And I ignored it. I've seen what the Saints have done to Tuomi the last couple of years, and I ignored it, and it came through again. I just didn't think that it was going to work this time. There's been some injuries in the Saints defense, and really it was more about Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and the way that offense had been humming lately. They weathered everybody coming out hot in the passing game to start the year, whether it was Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, whether it was Justin Herbert in the Clippers, whether it was Joe Burrow in the Bengals, everybody that was taking turns at number one, Matthew Stafford, of course, in the Rams. And after everything settled in, there's Tuomi. There's the Buccaneers' number one pass offense in football. It's like, this is the way it was supposed to be. This is the way, everything was going to shake down when it was all said and done. Tampa at number one and the Bucks rolling and looking great offensively. And I didn't think even the Saints and what they've historically done to Tommy, I didn't think they were going to be able to stop him. And they didn't just stop him. They stopped him dead in his tracks. Man, what an unbelievable performance. What a job by the New Orleans defense to deliver that shutout. You talk about Dan Campbell should have got a contract extension immediately after his game. Somebody needed to fire their head coach in the league. I don't know who. There's a couple of spots open, of course, in Vegas and Jacksonville who've got interim coaches. But somebody needed to throw their coach out immediately and hire Dennis Allen as their head coach just based on his history of performing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was as impressive of a win. You know, probably one of the more – how many exciting 9-0 games have we had? But that was exciting because it wasn't because you were watching great football, but you were watching a team completely stifle and stymie. You know, Tommy, he's the GOAT, you know, and he hasn't been shut out in a decade and a half. I mean, whatever the number was where he hadn't been shut out since, and it was a long time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like New Orleans was exactly, you know, firing on all cylinders. They put up 3 field goals. You'd think if I told you before when we picked the games that New Orleans was going to get 9, you would have felt even better about your Tampa pick.
Right, because there's no way Tommy, after the week after putting up, you know, 33 in the overtime win over the Bills D, there's no way he's putting up less than 9. He's putting up 40 on the Saints. Come on, obviously.
Yeah. And apparently Tommy is not a big fan of Sean Payton.
Or the whole Saints staff.
Well, after he ran over there and pretty much told him, you know, go F himself.
Yeah, I didn't see that particular play happen, but I read about that. So I thought he was, the way I was reading it, I thought he was doing it basically at the bench or at the entire staff. I didn't know.
Oh, no, he ran right up and said it right to Payton's face.
Okay.
I'm almost certain it was right after that last pick that he threw at about the 3.5 minute mark. Like they, I'm sure Payton said something. I'm sure they were rubbing it in.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sean is not exactly the most gracious person in the world.
Yeah. Now you had mentioned, because we were talking about teams we said we weren't going to talk about anymore, and you immediately went to Pittsburgh.
We had them buried.
We had them dead and buried, but we both picked them.
Because that's just the type of game that Mike Tomlin wins.
Yes. And again, so hard to trust the Titans right now against anybody who can punch them back. Although now they're up 17-10. Go figure.
Go figure. I mean, yeah, I definitely don't trust the Titans, especially that specific game against the Steelers and what they presented out there, which was they clearly, and it was sad to watch. It was they clearly the Titans and the offensive coordinator Todd Downing. There's several teams, and we talk about them every week, that are clearly trying to win football games in spite of their quarterback, not because of. And I put the Titans in that same category. Now that Derrick Henry went down, and I said right when it happened, they got to figure out a way to not have to rely on Ryan Tannehill. They don't want this to turn into the Tanny show, because we've all seen the Tanny show in Miami. It's a bad show. It got canceled. And it's clear in this game against the Steelers that Todd Downing and the Titans were doing all they could to coach around Ryan Tannehill. And still, Ryan Tannehill cost them the game. It's amazing how they tried to avoid Tanny calls him the game, and he still found a way to throw an interception. He lost a fumble. He only threw for 153 yards. I'm still not taking the Steelers seriously. They do refuse to die. They are the Undertaker. They have risen from the dead. They are in the playoff chase. But to me, that game was actually more about the Titans and how they really are struggling to find a way to coach around Ryan Tannehill. They got that. I remember that one game against the Patriots. They managed to get 200 yards rushing out of 2 no-name running backs that weren't Derrick Henry and still couldn't beat the Patriots because their quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. I'm sorry.
Well, let's not forget, Ryan Tannehill's 153 was more than Roethlisberger threw for, and I believe the Titans ran for 200.
They did, and Tanny still lost the game because of the
Steelers,
turnovers.
to the Steelers 35 yards running. So 30, the Titans did everything they were supposed to do, but no, they're
right.
Exactly what we said. These are the kinds of games Pittsburgh, they have no business winning, and they win. Because Pittsburgh will then turn around and lose to teams they have no business losing to.
That's true. That's what kind of scares me also about the Steelers is, let me look at their schedule. They don't have any more cupcakes left. They don't have any more games left that they have no business losing that they would go on and lose.
Oh, so,
I think the,
so they're going to go on a run? Is that what you're saying?
They just might. There's no games for them to fall asleep against. They're at Kansas City this week. Next week is hosting the Brownies. And the finale of the regular season is at Baltimore. Yeah, they're going to be alert and awake for all those games. They might not win them all, but they're not going to go to sleep and lose to teams they have no business losing to.
Yeah, and yeah, they're right on the edge of the playoffs right now. I mean, they're basically a game back, and they have that tie, which if you end up in a situation where they're tied with another team and wins, they'll go to the playoffs over them because they had the tie against the Lions.
Got that half-game lead over the Raiders, Dolphins, yep. Browns, and Broncos right now. That damn tie. Ugh. Boy, I tell you. So it's that AFC soup. It's fun. It's crazy. The NFC soup is sadder still, but it's
that's
not
more like chunky soup.
Yeah. It's not devoid of interest. It's. When you talk about the Vikings holding on to the last spot over the Eagles and Saints. Now, the Saints are going to have to do this on the back of their defense because they've got serious quarterback issues. We don't have a whole lot of goop clarity.
Ian Book, I believe, making his first NFL start on Monday night, where I saw one of the line posted for that game on one of the apps I look at for scores and stuff. One of the lines just said N.A.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah, so I will put it to you right away. We may want to pick that Monday nighter on Monday.
Just in case Taysom Tebow gets cleared and makes a comeback?
Yeah, that's, you know, we're at Thursday now, so that's still 4 days till the game. I'm okay picking everything through Sunday, but there's so much up in the air for that Monday nighter. I'm okay not picking that show, picking that game tonight.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with punting that one. That's fine.
Yeah, we're malleable. Show, so we still pick the games before the games are played, which is what counts.
not after. I was going to give a disclaimer before we made our picks about, look, there's so much goop uncertainty right now with all of these games, with the procedures. There's so many possibilities that guys who got diagnosed with the goop at the beginning of the week still might get cleared in time to play the games. We just don't know. I was going to give the disclaimer that there very well may be more contingencies and more changed picks on this
audibles,
slate than ever before. Because
we
may
need
of the
to
fact
call some
that,
audibles.
Yeah, because of the fact that it's Thursday and so much could change between now and Sunday. So we, as always, reserve the right to go on Twitter and say, this game that I said on the show, I'm going this way. I am now going with new information. I'm going the other way. So that's certainly something that we might do. I do have one contingency already planned, and there may be – I don't know if you have any planned or not, but just in general – there's a lot of stuff still up in the air that we might go on Twitter and change.
No contingencies yet, but I do have a game where the way I was leaning all week drastically changed because of a COVID issue. So, because I was a little upset-minded in one of these games, and then all of a sudden I see the wires and someone's on, well, there goes that.
Never mind that. Okay, well, yeah, there's like I said, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. So, yeah, I definitely was going to make that that announcement that, look, we're doing these games on Thursday, and Jason is at IMLDJTG on Twitter. I am at IMLDDre. Stuff might change and might happen, and news might break in the next 48 hours before these games start, and we absolutely reserve the right to go on Twitter and change our minds before the games start. A lot of that might happen this week. I have a feeling, and the next few weeks as well.
I was texting you during one of the games, and that was texting my admiration of one Tyler Huntley and what he's been able to do in basically that in a game and a half with a little bit of other limited action in moving that Baltimore offense. And that's one of the reasons why I had them. I actually had them to win. They came close.
They tried.
They tried really hard. John Harbaugh does not lack stones. We'll give them that. That's two losses that they've had hung on them now because they've opted away from playing for overtime and just tried to go get the win and lost both times.
I don't blame them for either one myself.
Yeah, but I said I thought that Huntley was a worse running but better throwing version of Lamar Jackson, and he looked the part.
Nothing but compliments from me for the effort by the Ravens overall and by Tyler Huntley in general. They almost come back and beat the Green Bay Packers straight up, but they do manage to cover the number for you. And again, because of injuries and depletion, I understand John Harbaugh going for the win. I get it. He's the one that knows his team better than any of us watching at home. He's looking at those guys. He's seeing how beat up they are. He's seeing that they're dragging their bodies to the end of these games. And he tried to steal two of them, and he failed both times. And I still don't blame him. Just because he didn't win, I don't think that makes it a wrong decision. Nice job again by Snoop Huntley, who although Ian Rappaport on Twitter said before the game started that Lamar Jackson was not going to make it with his ankle injury, so Snoop Dogg was going to get the start at quarterback, which I'm sure was news to Snoop Dogg when he got linked to that tweet. that made me laugh very hard, like, no, that wrong Snoop, Ian. Good try, but no, wrong Snoop. Throws for 215 yards, runs for 73 more, and four total touchdowns, two running and two throwing. Yeah, would Lamar have done all of that? I don't think so. Not the way he's been playing. Nice pick by you. And you said it smelled like a trap, and I'm the one that got caught. So, yeah, good job out of you.
All right. Yeah, I liked that one. Yeah, but I would have felt a little better if I had gone all the way and gotten the win, but did not expect a 31-30 game, that's for sure.
No, that was a barn burner.
Yeah, and the Packers offense came out a little bit off early and actually got down right away in that game, and Baltimore was actually up on them a couple of times, but man, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's pretty good at football.
He's not bad. Yeah, when he gets in rhythm, it's very hard to touch them. You're the one of us two that have the sort of side eye at John Harbaugh, and he's going for two situations. So around the NFL, they were talking about this. So I'll ask you the question because I understood both times, but. What do you see that as, those decisions for John Harbaugh? Because somebody on that show said that he saw it as almost a crisis of confidence, that John Harbaugh is looking at his own team and sort of doubting them. Do you see it as something quite that deep?
I've got the best kicker in the league, right? So you got to figure Justin Tucker is going to hit that extra point. So it's not that he's worried about his kicker. That thing goes 31-31. They go to overtime. I understand that he probably doesn't feel confident having it all come down to a coin flip. The way that Baltimore and Green Bay were both moving the football, it's very likely that whoever won the coin toss might have just gone down and scored the touchdown. I'm thinking both teams might have been gassed a little bit, but I would still want to take that chance, of getting into the overtime versus putting all of it on one play.
Okay.
But I'm the one who's been trying to figure out why all these teams are losing their heads and going for, fourth down conversions in the first quarter instead of just, taking some sure points. And in a lot of these situations, these points come back and you miss them at the end of these games.
Yeah, I think a lot of those are not just the circumstance of, well, we're close to the end zone, But I really think a lot of them is just the circumstance of the yardage that you need. Like,
yeah.
I think guys like Brandon Staley and John Harbaugh, they see fourth and two, fourth and three, and almost it almost doesn't matter where they are on the field. They go, oh, we can get that. It's just a couple of yards. Come on, we can do that. I really do think of Staley on a lot of those, especially that one game that we saw, the primetime effort against the Chiefs. I think a lot of those, if they were fourth and four, fourth and five, instead of fourth and three or two and a half, I think he would have taken the 3 points. But I think they're just so close. They're right there. And they go, we only need a couple yards. Come on. So it's tough. I still understand the going forward. I still understand the metrics say that it's a little slightly more likely chance of winning if you do go forward and get it. But I also understand that it's not 100% to zero that you go for it and you're going to win the game if you go for it. So some of those times where the metrics they go for it, you might want to back off a little. And I'm a fan of going for it, but even I was like, some of these I don't know, maybe you should take the 3.
Yeah, and then again, this is the Ravens who are fighting for a playoff spot, going for 2, and this isn't the Lions who came back and they have one win. It's like, okay. Yeah, we don't need to see any extra football. This is a bad team. Strike while the iron is hot. Sneak off with a victory. The Ravens now, we'll never know if they cost themselves. We won't know if they cost themselves, 2 victories by going for it. But we know they definitely piled up 2 L's doing it this way.
Yeah, but on the same token, I also think that almost shows why they went for it. This isn't, like you said, this isn't some losing franchise. This isn't some coach that is trying to be a gunslinger and go for the win and show what kind of a riverboat gambler he is. This is an established head coach, maybe the one that I respect the most in the league. I think that lends credibility to him saying, look, I'm looking at my team and I know they're not going to make it through overtime. They have no chance. They're gassed and they're hurt and it's not going to work out. So I'm trying to go for these wins and trying to steal them. I think that actually, to me, gives it more credibility because he's not the guy. He's not that guy trying to show everybody his geniusness and try to show that he can be the gambler and go for the full house when everyone's going for the 3 of a kind or whatever. That's how I feel. I think John Harbaugh knows what he's doing and knows when he sees his guys that, no, we're not going to get through an overtime.
Yeah, and now that's turned that AFC North, and you want to talk about soup. It's a one-game spread from first to last in that division right now.
The Browns, with that L that they took, went from first to last, right?
In one game.
Yeah, because that's how close it is in that division. Yeah, it's 8-6, 8-6, 7-6-1, and 7-7. They are definitely all right there. Now, if you want to go with one of our old measuring sticks, plus minus, and try to make some differential in that division that way, I think that gives a little more shines a little more of a light on who's legit and who's not in that division, because going by plus minus, the Bengals are head and shoulders above that division at 66.
Yeah.
On the plus minus. And then after
and also
that
with the least points allowed as well. So, they've been, although all 4 of those teams have played okay defense. I mean, they're all pretty soupy and that way too. But no, it actually lines up for that Pittsburgh would be the odd team out there at minus 44.
Minus 44,
yeah,
and they're a half a game over 500. Like I said, they keep rising from the dead. They keep sticking that hand up out of the grave and somehow and staying relevant and staying alive. But that's why I'm looking at that schedule and saying they're going to compete because they can't go to sleep because they actually have 3 good games and 3 real teams ahead of them. But that doesn't mean they're going to win those games just because they're going to be alive for them. But they're going to be there. They're going to compete, that's for sure. Minus 44 for the Steelers, then minus 13 for the Browns. And then the Ravens are right there at plus 19. So, yeah, the Bengals, I'm still you know, very surprised at that. I did not think they would be this good when the season began. But this win that they got over the Broncos, that's yet another guy standing up on that offense other than the guy that was, you know, leading the way to start the season in Ja'Marr Chase. Now we got Tyler Boyd standing up and making the difference for the Bengals in their comeback effort to beat the Broncos 15-10. They needed that touchdown to put them over the top after Teddy Bridgewater got dumped on his head and knocked out of the game with a bad concussion. Yeah, you know what? The Bengals are growing up before our eyes. I can't deny it. I'm probably been hating on them all year because I haven't believed that it's real. I said, look, find a way to win games other than Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase. Show me a way you can do it other than that. And they've been showing you the running game. They've been showing you Joe Mixon. They've been showing you T. Higgins as another receiving threat. And now they're showing you Tyler Boyd. Yeah. They're doing it. They're doing exactly
what
they said to do.
And they're playing defense.
And the defense has been, they've been consistent.
They're better.
They're definitely better than what they have been.
They're better than average, or at least league average. You know, when you have a good offense, and you know their offense is obviously becoming, you know, more dynamic. Yeah, because some games it's been T. Higgins, right? So, you know, mm-hmm. at the beginning it was Ja'Marr Chase. It's like everything you've asked them to do, they've done.
They've absolutely done it. Yeah, they need more defensive guys in their defensive backfield. They need more guys to shut things down in the back end. They're holding up well against the run. They're fourth, but they're 29th against the pass. They definitely got some leaking in the back end there. But obviously they got the quarterback. If they want to shoot out and contend that way, they can do it. But it's not gonna win them a title that way until they shore that up on their back end of their defense. But yeah. As far as their offense goes, that's why I don't even pay attention to their defense because it's so out of whack right now. But offensively, I was begging them, show me another way to win other than Burrow to Chase. They've absolutely done that a couple of different ways. So big ups to the Bengals. They are showing me what they are, and they're showing me that they've got a lot of potential, a lot of growth. I don't think they're going to be too much of a threat to, you know, to be – you know, when I say legit, when we sort of, you know, do our real or fake, my working definition of that is always legit threat to be in a conference title game. If you're not a legit threat to be in the conference title game, I don't really think you can say you're real. You can say you're on the road to being real, but you're not really real to me. So the Bengals, I don't think, are a legit threat to make it through two rounds of football and be in the AFC title game. But they are definitely one of those teams that you'd be like, I don't want to play them in the playoffs. I don't want to see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd in the playoffs because they might get a game on me. No problem. I can definitely see them getting a game.
You just took what I was going to say. They might not contend for the title game, but they're that tough out kind of team.
And a team you don't want to see them.
Right, because if they're hot for that week, then you got to watch out.
Yeah, you got trouble. Burrow can definitely go for 400 on you in a playoff game and make you sweat it out. No doubt about that.
And I hope they get there. That division is still so up in the air. We don't know who's going to shake out of that division, and they have a huge game on Sunday, playing Baltimore. So you were talking about some big games this weekend with huge playoff implications. You got that one. With that New England Buffalo game, so a couple of huge 1-2 matchups this week.
So the rest of NFC the rest of week 15 in the NFL, I got to reference my Bears on Monday night. Mm. Any Chicago fan was shaking his head the entire game against the Vikings. So many opportunities, so many chances squandered by either bad play or bad play calling, that coaching staff. The Vikings were trying to let Chicago stay close the whole time, the whole game, and Chicago, they didn't want to. We don't want to stay close. We want to find a way to piss this thing away all night long. The Vikings were not balanced at all on offense, but Chicago could not take advantage. It was bad. It was really bad. It was bad to watch as a Bears fan. I already know why they have that annoying ass siren in between plays at Soldier Field. That's not something they've done for a long time. I don't know if I've ever heard that before. 100%, I'm putting money. They'll never admit it in public, but that is to blunt out the fire Nagy chance that will be happening between plays. I promise you, that's why they do that. I can't imagine any other reason for them to decide to put in this long-ass blaring siren in between every single play. There's no reason to do that other than to stifle any kind of chance. 17-9, like you held the Vikings to 17, and their offense is definitely one that can put up a lot more than that. But and the Bears being so beat up on defense, it basically there's another ice cream truck situation. They had guys out there on defense that you never heard of. They got off the street and whatnot, and they were competing and they were trying to stay close to the Vikings, but they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, we had both taken the Bears and the points in that one. Kirk Cousins throws one of the most laughably bad interceptions that you might ever see. I suggest people go on YouTube and type in Kirk Cousins interception. It'll be one of the first two or three hits, but he throws that ball, and the only person within 20 yards of the ball was the Bears defender.
Yeah.
That wasn't even like a throwaway. He threw it right. And then I'm watching that and I'm like, they lost to that guy.
Yeah, exactly. That team. 87 yards passing for Kirk Cousins in that
game. Less than 4 yards per attempt for Kirk Cousins in that game. The Bears lost to that guy. They couldn't even cover.
Couldn't even cover it. Can you imagine if you're going into that game that you tell me Justin Fields is going to outthrow Kirk Cousins by 200 yards? Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Bears are going to knock off the Vikings.
You're probably thinking, well, he threw for 500.
Right.
No, he's going to outthrow Kirk Cousins, but he's only going to go for 285. Huh?
Yeah, that, again, Fields shows that promise. I'm not playing Celebration again, but
he shows
those flashes.
I'm not.
I understand
the crap on your dream,
flashes, but it's still flashes.
Yeah, I had to point that part out to you. That was what I crapped on it a little bit because, like I said, you could have basically just dubbed over yourself, saying Justin Fields over all of your Mitch Trubisky speeches. Every time Trubisky showed a little bit, it was all the same content.
I love what I see out of Justin Fields. Man, I'm telling you, this Justin Fields looks like he's got some real potential. I love this kid.
Yeah. I'm just looking for that Moxley. Glimmer out of Justin Fields.
Leaves the league in guts.
Oh, he's Jake DeLome.
That's right.
I believe he was the league leader in guts, according to John Gruden. Okay.
That is correct. Although he may have used that line with someone else, too. Who knows?
That was the one that stood out.
Yeah, that's one we remember. We saw that, and it's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, Miami gets the win to upset poor Lou in Jersey.
Sorry, Lou.
Even though the Jets tried, they hung on. You got that one over me on the number, so that was a good numbers play for you. But, yeah, they're just bad. They're bad at football. It's no different than the Tuesday nighter where we disagreed and you had the Seahawks and I had the Rams, and it wasn't like the Rams played great. It's just that the Seahawks are bad at football.
Correct. Yeah. As far as the Dolphins one, that's, almost the talk of the league now because they've gone from 1-7 to 7-7, eating more cupcakes than I used to eat as a kid. I mean, this is, how do people not see this? These teams that are just feeding on terrible, terrible teams and building their records up. It's like, oh, my God, the Dolphins, look at what they're doing and what kind of run are they going on and what kind of finish to the season are they going to – they're beating nobody. They're playing the second half schedule that the Bills played in the first half. Come on. You got to look at
the
schedule.
They are into what we would call the soft part of their schedule.
Soft as marshmallow.
Here are those Bills, 6 wins in a row. Jets, Giants, Panthers, Jets, Ravens, okay, that's quality, and Texans.
Oof.
So those are their six in a row. So out of those six in a row, one was quality.
Great. You said the Bills one? Is that or was that the Dolphins?
This is the Bills six in a row. Sorry, not the Bills. The Dolphins
six
in a row.
Yeah.
The Dolphins. Jets, Giants, Panthers, Jets, Ravens, and Texans. So like I said, so this is the Dolphins. That was their six wins in a row.
Right. No, but you're proving my point. You kept calling it the Bills six in a row because it's the same people that the Bills were beating up on at the beginning of the year.
Kinda.
You made me have to go back and read the Bills' schedule.
I got it right here. So at the beginning of the season, the Bills, they lost that first game to Pittsburgh, and everybody was shocked.
Right.
And then here were their wins. They ran off four in a row. Miami, Washington, Houston, well, Kansas City. There's more quality, I would say, in the Bills. But then the Bills start, they lose to Tennessee bad. Then they beat Miami. Then they lose to Jacksonville. And then they destroy the Jets, my lock of the week. Then they get their doors blown off by the Colts, and then they beat the Saints like a drum. I believe I also had that as my lock of the week. Then they put up back-to-back L's against New England and Tampa, and then they beat Carolina, which I believe I had as my lock of the week. I'm seeing a trend here.
I sense a theme.
I like the Bills off bad L's, I think, against cream puffs.
Against crap, yes.
Yes. Well, here, because the Bills play New England on Sunday. If they lose, I'll lock them up against the Falcons.
Oh. And if they lose that one, you'll lock them up
lock
the
them
last
up
game of the year
against
the Jets.
Yeah. I'm sensing some Bills locks in my future.
Oh, wait a minute. You're pulling my move. When I pull locks out weeks in advance, what always happens? They always go down in flame.
Uh-oh.
So don't do that. Learn
but
your
that's
lesson.
That's all predicated on the Bills losing to the Patriots, and we haven't made that pick yet.
Ah, they might come back and, well, hang on. What's the weather in New England?
Yeah, that's one thing I was like, is it going to be 40-mile-an-hour winds?
They're going to be terrible, terrible winds in New England. Because
then
I might be
a little worried.
NFLweather.com says 38 with 9-mile-an-hour winds in New England.
I think that's a little bit more
conducive
to a passing game.
Pats might try more than three passes. Just guessing.
We're at the 2-minute warning in Tennessee. It's all tied up at 17.
Interesting.
And it's and the Titans just got the ball. So the Titans have the ball in their own territory at the 2-minute warning.
Yeah, we both go with the road team on the very short week this late in the season. I said in my Twitter write-up that I'm really loath to do that. But the way the Niners have been playing and the way the Titans have to try to coach around their quarterback, I felt good about this. So we both took the road team traveling, gave the three and a hook. So we might be
right.
In,
that's I think what might end up ultimately doing us
right.
in is that had the hook hung on it. And if that had just been a 3-point line for the Niners, maybe we're staring at a push, but yeah, we're still there's still hope. We can still get a San Francisco touchdown. I guess now we're hoping for overtime.
I was just about to say we might wind up going extras, and if we do, we're going to have to hope for a Deebo Samuel run out the backfield to the house. That's basically what we're going to have to be rooting for.
Jimmy Garoppolo, though, on the road, keeping the Titans in the game. He's got two picks.
Oh, yeah, he's been playing much better lately, too. There's another team that's trying to coach around their quarterback instead of with them, and they've been doing a very good job of it, but I guess he's going back to being Jimmy G tonight, unfortunately. Yeah.
And your boy Deebo only has 32 yards rushing, but he has 143 receiving yards. And A.J. Brown, Not to be outdone, A.J. Brown comes back today for Tennessee, 145 yards receiving and a touchdown. I think he's feeling okay.
Well, that's very huge for the Titans. I didn't know he was going to come right back and be that, you know, have that much of an impact.
Right, because they announced he was coming back, and I think it was from a leg. So even when I saw the news, it still wasn't enough for me to go, you know, I'm always one of those when a guy comes back and it's an injury to a skill position player, you're always worried, like, you know, he'll get one, you know, he'll pull a Will Fuller, you know, and he'll get one catch and then he's donezo.
They're not all Will Fuller. They're not all lacking in heart as he does. And I think Brown's injury was a chest situation that he kept getting deactivated
heart.
For.
Clearly, it's not heart.
There you go. He's full of heart. He leads the league in guts.
Well, we're spilling into our second hour here, and we got 15 picks. Well, 14 picks to make since we're not picking the Monday Nighter.
We're punting the Monday Nighter. Debo and the Niners ran over your Road Warrior Falcons last week.
Well, the Falcons get the ball on an immediate turnover. I believe it was a kickoff fumble. And the Falcons get the ball, get it four tries from the one-yard line, and don't score. And then at that point, I was like, yep, this one's over.
That'll do it. That will absolutely wrap it up every time.
You're the Road Warriors. You get the Niners down at their goal line just like that, and you can't even punch it in. Then the Niners give the ball right back to Atlanta. Atlanta gets down and kicks a field goal. So you're like, okay, so you've been down there twice, and it's 3-0. I was like, you could have chalked that one up for yourself pretty much at that point.
Then that we got together was the Cowboys over the Giants, and the Giants once again couldn't hang with Dallas, but you can't feel that great about the Cowboys the way they're playing right now, because they definitely are a little off sync. They're doing a little bit of what the Chiefs to me are doing. They're sort of relying more on the D more so than the offense is looking a little broken these days.
It's not hard. You don't have to look great when you're playing Mike Glennon.
And they might not even be playing him because he's so bad he might get demoted this week. We don't know.
We might see Jake Fromm getting a start.
Yeah, we might get some Fromm action.
You know what?
Who knows?
You might as well.
Why not, right?
You know what you're going to get with Mike Glennon? A lot of bad quarterback play.
And for a lot of, not for a lot of money now, but Chicago, they gave him a lot of money. No, I'm still not letting that go. I'm sorry.
That had some Brock Osweiler. I believe that was the most relevant comp at the time when that happened.
Yes. Just tons of money for what? For what?
Oh. Yeah.
But hey, if you're a Giants fan, you know what? It's all good. Because at least you got a free medium Pepsi at the game for Fan Appreciation Day. So that made up.
Oh, well. Yeah, that does not, you know, that doesn't make up for having to watch Mike Glennon play football.
Well, you don't have to watch. Just take your Pepsi and keep your eyes closed or leave.
Throws three picks in that game, and the Cowboys still barely scrape by on that line.
Yeah, again, can't feel great if you're a Cowboy fan right now. But win's a win, right?
That was my assumption, was that they were just going to win this division by default, and that's about where they are right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Like Jay said, 14 more picks, and we're punting the Monday Nighter for reasons we just don't know who's going to be playing it. So we're going to give that a little breathing room and pick that on Twitter after the Christmas holiday. As for the other 14 games coming up Saturday and Sunday, we will have those picks in a couple of minutes. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason is on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast, about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and look through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at @IMLDDre and at @IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. So I had not even had a chance to look at the spreads at all until right this second. So these are up to the second as of right now spreads that I'm going to be getting. Looking down the list to see if there's any missing. What was the game that was possibly New Orleans?
That was the game.
Oh, that was
not
Monday night. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
On covers.com, they have a line at Miami minus two. That thing is all over the place. That line is flopping around like a fish. That actually started at Saints cop out line, and now is moved to Miami giving points. So,
right,
yeah. That's pretty wild that you have, you know, have that big of a swing because no Taysom Tebow. Okay, apparently Taysom Tebow is worth 5 points.
Well, how can you say Ian Book is better or worse than that when he hasn't played? So I don't know.
I would say at actually playing quarterback, it's hard to be worse than Taysom Tebow.
I think so. Others,
we're not fans. I think that's clearly what we're saying, that he's a gadget guy.
We definitely established that
he is not a full time starting quarterback.
Were they on national TV last game, or was that regional?
That Tampa game.
Yeah, Sunday night. So that was Tirico and
prime time.
Was it the last Taysom Tebow game I saw? Whoever the booth was complimenting him, like they were talking about how good he was. So yeah, I think that was Tirico and Collinsworth actually saying that I like what I see out of this Taysom Tebow guy. Yeah, they didn't say Taysom Tebow, obviously, but
that's merely a creation
that's
of
our
ours.
Name. Yes. So now he's getting some love, I guess, in other places. I don't know why. We're going to go with 14 games right now, the Christmas doubleheader, and then all the Sunday action. And starting on Christmas afternoon with the Browns and the Packers, that Goop situation at the moment is as follows. Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry are expected to return from the Goop and be playing in this game and starting in this game. So not going to be whatever that situation was on Tuesday night when they were going with a quarterback that wasn't on their team the week before. Other injury news for the Browns, Kareem Hunt is not going to play. He's got a bad ankle. And they haven't said Myles Garrett isn't going to play, but if you saw him in that Tuesday game, was that was one of the Tuesday games, right, the Browns?
No.
It was Monday or?
That was the Monday. Was that the Monday early game with the Raiders?
That's right. That's right. I knew it was a game that they had moved. It was Monday. Yeah, if you were watching that game, you saw Myles Garrett tweak his groin. That's the telltale guy walking around holding his junk. And there's only two things. Either he got kicked there or he popped something there. And that was definitely something where he pops something there. So I'm not saying Myles Garrett won't play in this game against the Packers, but I'd be surprised if I saw him out there because he was walking around really gingerly after tweaking that thing. So that leaves Cleveland and Baker against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers the way they've been playing. And no surprise, that leaves Cleveland as a 7.5-point dog at the Pack.
A lot more tempted to take Cleveland if they were more at full strength. I think this is one of the, you know, few bad matchup type teams for the Packers, you know, solid running teams can kind of have their way with them, it seems like. You Dalvin Cook has his way with them. You can get on them. You can run them up the middle. But I think Cleveland's just missing too many pieces. And, you know, they just – that the quarterback, you know, it's Baker Mayfield. I'm not, you know, going to crap all over Baker. He's okay. He's a guy. But he's going to have to really put up some numbers if they, you know, to stay with Aaron Rodgers and this Packer team that just seems to be hitting on all cylinders right now. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to give the points. You know, kind of sad what's happened to Cleveland. You know, I liked them going into the year. I had them to win the division. But, you know, first it's injuries. Now it's the goop running through the team. Just doesn't seem to be lining up for them. So I think they'll be game. But I think Green Bay pulls away from them late and wins it by about 10.
It's been really hard to go against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They seem to be getting better and better as the season goes along. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to lean that way as well. Having Myles Garrett hurt is such a big break for Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. Not that they need any more breaks, but that's definitely one that they would get. Hard to trust Baker Mayfield at all. Especially coming off the goop, hard to trust the run game to be as dominant as the Browns want it to be when they're missing one half of that daily duo. That really is a great combination when you get Nick Chubb hammering away for a quarter and a half, and then all of a sudden here comes Kareem Hunt down your throat. But they will not have Hunt for this one. So, yeah, definitely less potent than they would be, and I will concur and take Green Bay at Lambeau. And give it the 7.5. It's also very hard to go against Green Bay and Lambeau in December, in January.
Yes. Also, game update for you. That is a Randy Bullock game winner. 20-17 Tennessee with the win. Hangs the L on us.
Once again, as always, very short week. This late in the season, go with the home team. We did not heed that, and we
especially
took the L on that.
Especially a 9-win team was a home dog. We didn't, you know.
You know that circumstances, though. That's, you know, obviously
still,
Derrick Henry was around. But yeah,
still,
but no,
they're home dogs. Yeah. It's not like Tennessee. Tennessee's not just a load of crap. I thought they were bum slaying, and that's what I said when I made my pick on Twitter, and that, you know, the Niners aren't bums, but you know, Jimmy G has those games where he'll keep the other team. He'll throw them back into the game, and Tennessee hung around. It just this boy, they're that team. That win an ugly Titans team, this is how they're going to have to get it done.
Jimmy G has those games, and also, yes, to your words, to give the Titans credit for being that team that will absolutely hang around and beat you when you don't think they should beat you necessarily. Yeah, the Titans, I think more than just about any team, except maybe Belichick's Patriots, the Titans love to take down teams that – are supposed to beat them. They love being that underdog. They love showing you how scrappy they are, and they can claw back and beat you no matter what. And usually that's with Derrick Henry. It's easy to fight back when you got Derrick Henry. But to do it without him, yeah, give them credit. Give them props for fighting back and staying strong. So that's what the Titans do. And
did you record the game, or are you intending to watch?
Yeah,
or are you
yeah.
just going to catch? Okay.
I did record it. I don't know when I get around to watching it. But, yeah, I do want to watch and see exactly how that went down.
Well, spoiler alert, Titans win.
All right. On Christmas night, it's going to be the Colts and the Cardinals. So here it is, the first chance for Arizona to right the wrong of losing to the Detroit Lions, and they have to take on the possible league MVP, Jonathan Taylor, and the Colts. Indy at 8-6, Arizona at 10-4. James Conner has an injury that he might not be able to recover from, so that might be Chase Edmonds all day at running back for the Cards. Colts are a one-point dog in this game at the Cardinals.
Yeah, 1 point. I mean, so you've got the, you know, that's quite the turnaround. I'm looking at this, and yeah, it looks like Nuke is gone for a while. So that's not going to help at all. Looks like he's done. So they'd have to get on a playoff run to go in there. But no, I'm going with the narrative play here. You know, sometimes it's not always X's and O's. It's just you got to take the team that's been a little bit more beaten down, and I really do think that that's the Cardinals right now. I'm going to take the Cardinals, you know, give the point, which basically makes this a pick'em game. That it, again, you know, it's worked for me for the Bills. I'm not locking this one up, but sometimes you get that team, and they get the ugly L hung on them, and it kind of refocuses the team, right? You were worried about the errors, about the Cardinals being a little lethargic coming off of the Rams loss, and then that they would be – you thought they – I don't remember you saying that the Lions were going to beat them.
Oh, hell no.
Or beat them like a drum. But, yeah, they got embarrassed. So, usually, if you're a good team, play – the solid play for me is take the solid team or the good team coming off of an embarrassing win. They showed their ass against the Lions. I know the Colts are a tough out. But if the Cardinals are going to get it done, you don't want to drop three straight and have the Rams breathing down your necks. So I'm going to take the Cardinals. I'm going to give the point. Don't have a lot of whole lot of X's and O's reasons for why I think this way. I just think that this is a good team that's just got to stand up and acquit themselves, whatever it takes.
Well, there's no doubt that that's the narrative, that the Arizona Cardinals need to recover after the Lions spanked them, and they need to have that bounce back. What a tough team. What a tough way to have to bounce back.
Yeah.
Those Colts, man, they are fiery and scrappy and strong, strong on both sides too. Their defense is strong up front, you know, a little light in the back end, but you know, they get gashed on the ground, it's by teams, I think, that are just, you know, zone scheming them up, and they can manage to sort of coach their way down the field on the Colts, because I think when you just go try to play straight up man-to-man, that's when Darius Leonard gets to run free and beat you up. This kid, Okereke, at linebacker, he's flashed a few times as a weak side linebacker. I like him.
Is that Brian Okereke?
Yeah, I don't remember his first name, but yeah, Okereke, I believe is how it's pronounced. But yeah, he's shown up. When you watch the games, he shows up. And of course on the other side, what Jonathan Taylor and that O line have been doing, everyone of course has been seeing that, and now he's in that conversation, that, you know, that MVP
yeah.
conversation that they talk about. The reason that's so funny, and we've laughed over the years about MVP conversations, is by mentioning is the guy in the MVP conversation, you're
he's
putting
in
him in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
By having a conversation about whether he should be in the MVP conversation, yes.
Unless it's ludicrous, and that's just somebody trying to make headlines.
Even then, you're putting him in the conversation, if only to slap him down and say he shouldn't be in the conversation.
Yeah, he's in the conversation.
You're still putting him.
The answer is no, but he's in the conversation. No, Taylor definitely, I think, is actually definitely deserving of consideration.
There you go.
As the heir apparent to Derrick Henry.
And therefore, he's in the conversation. Kyler Murray just has not been sharp since he came back from his injury, and I'm going to use that to go ahead and take the Colts. I wanted to take the Colts anyway because I really respect how they've been playing, even though they're, again, another team that's trying to play around their quarterback and not with him. But, yeah, I still don't think the Cardinals – I hate saying that I don't believe in the Cardinals because they put up 10 wins quicker than anyone could have imagined. And it's like, but we've seen that. We've seen teams that have big time surprise regular seasons. And then by the time the playoffs start, it's like, well, that was nice, but let's get back down to earth and let's, you know, be who we really are. I like the Cardinals a lot. I think they're fun and you think they're fun. I don't think they're this. I don't think they're great. Like, they were playing like they were, you know, the best team in football. They had the best record in football for the longest, and they still do. Are they still the best record? 10? Does anyone else have 10?
No,
Kansas
Packers.
City has 10.
The Packers are the Packers.
And the Packers have 11.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's several teams with 10, and the Packers have 11. So they're still right there as far as, you know, as far as best record in the league. They're only a game off of the best. But I don't. But are they that? Are they, you know, one game away from being the best team in football? No, they're not that good. I again, I like them, but they're not that. So Yeah, I'm taking the Colts. I'm hating on the Cards again, but it makes it easy to hate on you when you lose to the fucking Detroit Lions. So you brought that
I don't
on yourself,
fault you. Regardless. I don't fault you for this pick at all. The Colts are that team that they're so solid. They're just always there. No, they're not sexy. Nobody. I think people might overlook the Colts, but every time you look up, there's the Colts busting you in the mouth, and they're good. They're a good team. I don't blame you for making this pick. I just think that if the Cardinals have got anything left, I mean, all they have to do is win. Just win. Kick a last-second field goal. Just win the damn game.
So a couple of interesting Christmas games to watch Saturday. Sunday afternoon action start in Minneapolis, where the Rams will be visiting the Vikings. LA at 10-4, Minnesota 7-7. Dalvin Coop out. He's got the goop. Adam Thielen has been practicing this week with his ankle injury. Not sure if he's going to be able to make it back for the Vikings, but we know that it's going to be no Dalvin Cook. We know it's going to be Alexander Mattison running the ball for Minnesota. Rams seem to have some issues, but they're still sort of up in the air. They got guys coming back. They got guys that were gooped and are making their way back, and other guys that might be on their way to the goop list. So with all that uncertainty, L.A. at the moment, 3.5-point favorites on the road at Minnesota.
And Rams maybe not so much for this game, but it seems like they're going to be getting Cam Akers back in the not-too-distant future. That was one of the big news blurbs today, is that he's been activated as eligible to return. So now he's actually showing up as questionable on their injury report instead of just out. As an IR guy. So that would help them tremendously to get some type of a running game. And to get a guy back this late, you know, coming off of an injury, you know, how often do you get somebody back who's somewhat fresh? But I alluded to this game in the first hour of the show about, you know, my upset alert that went to hell. Well, this was it. I was all over thinking that the Rams could go and lay an egg up in Minnesota, especially after is how high they've been riding. And Minnesota's that weird team, right? They're so up and down. But yeah, no Dalvin Cook turned this thing around for me really quick. I'm going with the Rams. They're much healthier. No Dalvin Cook for the Vikings. So it's going to be the Alexander Mattison show, and he's back off the goop. But I don't like it. In fact, no Dalvin Cook, I'm locking the Rams up.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's a good call. You know how I feel about the Vikings when they're not balanced. And they're definitely not quite balanced when they don't have Dalvin Cook, and they're definitely not balanced if they're not going to have him and Adam Thielen again. So we'll see how all of that works out. Not touching Minnesota against Aaron Donald and the Rams without Dalvin Cook. L.A. should take away Justin Jefferson and, you know, Derek Kirk Cousins to beat them otherwise. Kind of like what I was asking teams to do to Cincinnati earlier in the year. Just take Jamar Chase away and say, hey, Joe Burrow, beat us another way. Find any other way to do it, and you know, we dare you. Make Kirk Cousins find a way to beat you and dare him to do it. And I think we've all seen throughout the years what the result of that would be. It wouldn't be pretty. So, yeah, I concur. I'm just now looking at the spreads live as we do the show, so I don't even know who my lock would possibly be. But you've already taken care of that with the Rams for yourself. I'm not going to lock up the Rams because I'd still worry about them a little bit. That, you know, Matthew Stafford, he still has those tendencies. But I'm going to concur and give the 3.5. All right, on to the Lions and the Falcons. Really dig into this one and break it down. The 2-11-1 Lions and the 6-8 Falcons. The Falcons at home, where they have not won a game this season in their home stadium. Go figure. And Detroit, 0-6-1 on the road. Something's got to give, unless there's going to be another tie. DeAndre Smith and Jamal Williams both are coming back from the goop for the Lions in their backfield. But, of course, Jared Goff goes down with the goop. But we're so late so early in the process of him getting the goop early in the week that later on before the game, he still might get cleared with the new guidelines. If he comes up negative Sunday, Jared Goff can still play. If he doesn't, it's going to be Tim Boyle, the quarterback for the Lions.
Yeah.
So with that, Detroit is +5.5 at Atlanta.
Yeah, I have no faith in Tim Boyle. But if Jared Goff plays, I like the points here. I'll take the points play if Jared Goff plays. So I'll go contingency pick on this one. I don't like Atlanta as this big of a favorite over anybody. Obviously, if it's over Tim Boyle, who's pretty awful, I feel a little bit better. But, you know, if it's Jared Goff back there, I think Detroit's got enough fight left in the tank that they could. I don't think they spring the upset, but I think at least Atlanta wins. But maybe they keep it under the 5.5. So I'll go contingency on this. Jared Goff Lions, not Jared Goff Falcons.
That is 100% what I was going to do when I said I had one contingency pick in the whole series. That's it. Don't know if this has ever happened. The twin contingencies.
We both have the exact same contingency pick.
We are both on record as saying we will take the Lions with Jared Goff, and we will take the Falcons if it's Tim Boyle under quarterback for Detroit. So there you go.
Okay. That's fair enough.
And that's what you get this early in the week with the Goop situation that's going on. All right, on to the Giants and Eagles in the NFC East, all those games where those teams in that division are playing each other in a round-robin tournament, all scheduled at the end of the year. Still don't quite understand how that worked out. These two played in Week 12, where the Giants at home somehow beat the Eagles 13-7 behind three INTs of Jalen Hurts and 208 yards rushing for the Eagles, but that didn't matter because, as I said, three INTs for Jalen Hurts. In this one, the Giants quarterback situation, as I already said, the Giants coach Joe Judge has decided that there needs to be mystery behind whether he's going to stick with Mike Glennon or he might change to Jake Fromm, and he's not going to announce that until later in the week. Either way, yuck. Coach Sirianni has been gooped for the Eagles. Don't think it's going to be able to be cleared to coach this game. But as far as players go, don't think we have any situations arising yet with that one. So with that, the Giants are 4-10. They are 10-point dogs of the 7-7 Eagles.
Strictly a points play here. I'm gonna take the points with the Giants. I don't really care if it's Glennon or if it's Jake Fromm. But you kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, they turned them over a lot in the last game, but this is two divisional teams. They don't like each other. They're not both very good. Clearly the Eagles are the superior running team, and we know that they're going to be able to make some hay going that route. But all you got to do is play a little defense, get them into some obvious passing situations, get them into some long yardage situations a few times. Yeah, Jalen Hurts will keep you in the game. So I'll take the Giants and say they keep it under 10. I think it's going to be a really bad game of football to watch.
I think I'd concur with all of that pretty much. New York can handle the Philly run a little bit better than I think teams probably – I think most people – think that the Eagles are running over literally everybody, but there's some teams that kind of hang on. You know, 208 yards rushing, I understand, seems like a lot, and it is. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that, but they stopped them clearly from going all the way. They only put up 7 points with the 208 yards on the ground. Those INTs, so huge, those turnovers. I'm with you. I'll take the points. I think the Giants will keep it close, and they'll do the same thing, the bend but don't break. They'll let the Eagles run up and down between the 20s, and then when it's crunch time, they hold them down, and they make Jalen Hurts have to throw the ball, and that's when they got you. So I'll agree with you and take the 10. More great football. Texans, Clippers, Houston 3-11, and the L.A. Chargers at 8-6. This is out in Houston. Yeah, this is not in SoFi. LA on the road. This is a potentially really bad situation for the Clippers. Austin Ekeler, their starting running back, is gooped. Joey Bosa, their star defensive end, is gooped. There are others that are gooped as well for the Chargers. And it's okay because the Texans have a goop outbreak. Brandon Cooks, their receiver, is gooped. Just about their entire defensive line is gooped, and others for them as well. Gooped versus gooped. This is probably a good candidate to possibly get moved if they give a fuck about the Clippers or the Texans, which the league probably doesn't. But at the moment, this game is being played, and at the moment, the Chargers at 8-6 are 10-point road favorites at the 3-11 Texans.
Yeah, I'm loving my points plays this week. A lot of going, a lot of dogs, it seems like. But I'm taking the Texans in those points. We already are well established on record that the Clipper Chargers, they'll keep you in games. They'll let you hang around. Kind of a little bit sad that this isn't the Tyrod Taylor revenge game, you know, after the medical staff, punctured his lung or whatever they did last year that, you know, kick-started Justin Herbert's career. That was kind of a famous, infamous situation there. But, you know, hey, General Mills, he's been up and down. He's good for that one good drive, and maybe that one good drive is some like a garbage time drive, and it keeps us under the number. Plus the Clippers, like I said, they just love to let you hang around.
That they do. And it's disturbing to think that they're going to have to do this without their best defensive player and without their starting running back. But it's the Texans. I got away with locking them in last week against because that's the Jaguars. Houston is such a bad team. The only reason they came through so well last week is they're playing the Jaguars, which are the absolute bottom feeders of the NFL. This is definitely a different team that they're facing. I understand the Clippers like everyone to hang around with them, but this is probably where the Texans think more of themselves than they actually should. And we beat the Jags. We bad. And then the Chargers and Justin Herbert come in. This is probably a bad thing for the Texans that Herbert is going to come in without his starting running back. That means Justin Herbert will throw more, and the Texans don't want you to throw more because they're bad at that too. They're bad at defending the throw. They're bad at defending the run. They're bad at everything. So, yeah, it feels like Herbert's going to go in and just absolutely light them on fire, and I'll take the Chargers and give the 10.
Oh, but you didn't lock it up.
I don't know what I'm going to lock up yet.
Okay.
That might be something I determine down at the end of the show. I don't know. More wonderful football on the docket. Jaguars, Jets.
Catch the fever.
We pick them all. Coach Sala is gooped for the Jets, and so are a lot of their players, but they're so bad, I don't know if it matters much.
Well, social distancing might not be a problem at this game.
Good seats still available, I would guess. Jaguars at 2-12, Jets at 3-11, and Jags are a 1-point dog at the Jets.
Yeah, who cares? I'm going to take the Jets. I saw enough with the Jags last week, and now they got to go on the road. And you know what? I'll give the Jets credit. They might not try as hard as the Lions. They're one of those other really bad teams that they're just bad because they're just not talented. But they have effort. I haven't even seen the Jags have effort. So just on that alone, I'll go with the Jets.
I concur. don't have much else to say about that. But it's Trevor Lawrence versus Zach Wilson. They're number one and they're number two. And they suck. They both are so bad. But see more
this
from Zach
might
Wilson this
go
year.
Go down.
Trevor.
Oof. Let's give these guys a few years, but this could be this could be a long remembered one for a 1-2 combo.
Not good early on. Definitely not good. All right, getting off of the stink of that and going to Baltimore Cincinnati, very important game in the AFC North. They're both 8-6. And whether Lamar Jackson is the big question about this game. He still hasn't practiced with whatever that ankle situation is, whether it's a sprain or a bruise or a bone bruise, whatever is going on. Lamar Jackson has not yet been on the practice field since that happened a couple weeks ago. And I just would based on all the years I've been watching, would say that it doesn't look good for him to make it to this game. With something, a game this important, he'd be on the practice field, even in a limited capacity, at least this late in the week, Friday. And that he hasn't been out there yet at all, I don't think he's going to play. So probably more Snoop Huntley at quarterback for the Ravens going against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Very evenly matched games, so even that we have the cop-out line, even though we don't know who the Ravens quarterback necessarily is, but it's Baltimore +3 at Cincinnati.
And this is what I hate to say it. I don't see a huge drop-off from Jackson to Huntley. I think that they both have strengths that are sort of the opposite of the other. But I think the story here is more Cincinnati. We kind of crapped on Cincinnati in the first matchup, thought this was going to be a sunning, and yeah. that Wink Martindale was going to bring all that exotic stuff after Joe, and Cincinnati had none of it. They absolutely brought it to the Ravens. They did it to them in their own building. I see no reason why Cincinnati doesn't hold serve here at home. Like you said, they seem to find a new guy and a new way to win every week. Somebody every week is stepping up who's different, and that's the sign of a team that's sort of maturing. And they play just enough defense. I'm going to take Cincinnati and give the 3.
Yeah, I liked a lot of what I've seen from the Bengals the last several weeks. And I'll even throw in a narrative, Joe Burrow coming off the Pro Bowl snub. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to most players, but he's
so
young enough.
So you or me either,
I don't give a fuck at all about the Pro Bowl. But he's young enough to, and from what I've read about him and heard about him, seems to have that chip on his shoulder. He really does think he's that damn good. That this feels like it might be a snub, that he takes the wrong way and he gets that against the decimated Ravens secondary, the secondary that's been just absolutely beat to hell and is losing good players left and right, and makes their coach John Harbaugh decide to go for wins at the end of game because he doesn't want to see them try to play in an overtime period because he knows it's not going to go well at all for them. This, I think, is going to be ugly. I think the Bengals are going to beat the hell out of the Ravens, and I think I would be picking that whether Lamar Jackson played or not, because the way Lamar Jackson has been playing since the first month of the year has not been very good, and as you already said, may not be much of an improvement over the way that this new Huntley has been playing. So I like Cincinnati a lot. I'm going to concur with you, and I'm not locking it up yet, but I am going to keep it in mind for later in the show.
Whoa, everything has been unique this season.
This is what happens when I'm making the picks as we're sitting here.
Are you gonna wait until Sunday morning to tweet out your lock?
I'm gonna try not to do that. I like Cincinnati enough that if I don't fall in love with any other pick as we go along here, then yeah, I'm gonna lock them in.
It's funny. The other game that I had contemplated locking was actually locking up the Jets.
Oh wow! Because that's the Jags.
Because why not? You know, why the hell not? You know, but no, I like my. Did we skip Tampa, Carolina, or is that coming yet?
I haven't got to it yet.
Okay,
it's on the way.
Got it.
Before
we
get to that,
down the list different than you, so I'm looking like, oh yeah, man, that's way up at the top of the list.
Yeah, I'm just going on how the covers.com handicapping contest has them listed. Before we get to that, Bills Patriots Part 2,
the AFC East
rematch of that extremely unique game that we saw on Monday night a few weeks ago, where the Patriots decided to win the game by throwing the ball 3 times. Don't think that's going to happen quite the same way this time, but Buffalo 8-6, New England 9-5. Do they wrap up the division with a win?
I believe they do.
After all of that, after the Patriots are dead and Tommy went and won a title and Belichick is overrated, and the New England fucking Patriots wrap up the AFC East again if they manage to knock off the Buffalo Bills for a second time in this game. Unfriggin' believable that they're even in this position. Bills at 8-6 are 2.5-point dogs at the 9-5 Patriots.
Yeah, how did it get this far?
How did we get here? This is not my house. This is not my beautiful wife. Sorry.
Oh boy, you got a little talking heads there.
Sweet.
Wow, it's okay. It's late. I'm going to the Bills. I'm taking the Bills here. I still think at the end of the day, the Bills are the best team in that division. I think they've needed the wake up call multiple times, multiple wake up calls. I believe, you know, they got so down against Tampa, and it seemed to wake them up a little. And they came back, and they tried, and they almost they got that thing with the overtime, after looking like they were just dead to rights. They came back, and then, of course, they had their ho-hum game against Carolina. But that how much of that is they knew what was staring them in the face, and that was to try to get back after getting completely embarrassed on national TV, losing to a team that only ran the ball. I mean, that only threw the ball on you three times. I think Buffalo comes into this one a little bit more motivated. You know, New England kind of underwhelmed in their last game. Mac Jones looked human. If the Bills are playing at their best, if they're capable of it, they are leaps and bounds better than the Patriots. I think the Bills are going to do this. I don't think they're going to just let the Patriots have this division without a fight. I'll take the Bills.
Yes, should be fun. Should be a hell of a battle. And the Bills definitely should give the New England Patriots a lot more of a tussle than they did in that Monday night game. We checked the winds. That was the most important part of this pick. We already checked the weather.
Yes.
And we will not have crazy winds like we had in the first one. I can't see Project running 10, 15, 20 times or whatever in Buffalo winning the game. We talked about that a little bit, that on the other side of the ball, when Buffalo has the on offense, they seem to fall into that trap of letting a quarterback be their lead rusher and trying to win games that way. And that didn't seem to be something that they should do long term. They tried to switch that up in the last game that they won on Sunday because they actually ran a real running back more than a handful of times and went back to Devin Singletary. But I think if they believed and loved Devin Singletary like that, they wouldn't have ever gone away from that and tried Zach Moss and tried Matt Breida and tried Josh Allen as the lead running back. They tried all this other thing. They went back to Singletary because they kind of had to, because they know they can't keep doing this to Project or else he's going to get decimated, him and his bad foot. So I think if they think they're going to walk in to this game and go up into Foxborough with the underwhelming Devin Singletary as their lead back and control the game and control the ball that way, they got another thing coming. They're going to be sadly mistaken. That might make them go back to using Project again and trying to run the ball with him. And I think that might be a mistake as well, just long-term as far as health goes. Bills are also going to be a little shorthanded because biggest non-surprise of the entire football season is the probably unvaccinated Cole Beasley got the goop and he's not going to be playing either. So they lose that possession receiver that they've had. We talked about 14-10, week 13, 222 yards rushing for the Patriots and only three passes and good enough to get the victory. This is Belichick, man. They're not going to win that way. They're going to find another way. I don't know if it's going to be Mac Jones for 300 yards. It very well might be. They're going to win. They're going to find a completely different way to win than how they won that Monday night game, but they're going to win anyway. Maybe it'll be forcing Project into like four turnovers or something like that, but it's going to be in some form or fashion Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and the Patriots finding out and figuring out some way to win that game. Mac Jones bringing the Patriots back against the Colts showed me something, too. Let's not forget that New England went down in Indianapolis, but they didn't go down like dogs. They went down by several scores, three touchdowns, and Mac Jones fought back. And that showed me something, the fact that the rookie has grown that much as a quarterback that he can lead a comeback all the way. Did they tie the game, the Patriots? I think they tied them up at some point. And then Jonathan Taylor broke off that huge run to win the game. Right. If they didn't tie, they got within like a field goal, something like that. But yeah, the Patriots have they're basically building a whole team. The defense has come back and done what they're supposed to do. The quarterback is developing. The running game is developing. The running backs, no name running backs, and the Bills are still not in shape for this task. To me, they're still not playing tough teams well. They're still beating up on, you know, Jolly Ranchers. They're still eating the easy candy and the marshmallow, and they're still not ready to have a real team come in and have a real fight with them. So you think they're going to come back and show what they're made of, and I think they're still not on that level, and I'm going to take the Patriots to win again. But it should be a lot of fun. Tampa and Carolina was the game you were referencing before, the last of the early games. And this is a very weird situation with Goop and injuries and whatnot. So we already knew that Mike Evans has a bad hammy and he's going to miss this game. We already knew Chris Godwin busted up his knee. And he's on IR. He won't see him until the playoffs. They had to put Leonard Fournette, the running back, on injured reserve this week. They had to put their side-to-side linebacker, Lavonte David, on injured reserve. This is all in addition to Antonio Brown and his drama coming back to the team. I don't know how that Bucs team is going to look. They might have Antonio Brown as they're going to have him as their lead receiver coming off of weeks and weeks of inactivity because of an ankle injury and because of the suspension from having the fake vaccination card. All of a sudden, not only is he back, but he's like the guy. Like, that's Tommy's buddy, so he wants him. You got him, and that might be all you have, him and Gronk, basically. And then they get to go to Carolina with all that drama and situation with Cam Newton, and apparently he's still going to be the guy. I haven't heard them say that they're going back to P.J. Walker yet, but, man, Cam does not look right. So with that, the 10-4 Bucks are 10-point faves at the 5-9 Panthers.
Yeah, Tommy could be missing all of his receivers, you know, and I crap on him thinking he's the GOAT. But I'll tell you what, even missing all these guys, he still has a better receiving core than anything he ever really had in New England. I mean, he'll have Scotty Miller and Gronk and Antonio Brown. That's still better than most of the receiving cores that he ever had when he was
Johnson.
In New England. Yeah, so Tom Brady will have guys. Tom Brady's also coming off of a game in which he got shut out. So I don't want to be the Carolina Panthers going into this game. This feels like Tom Brady just finding guys all over the place. He'll probably go for 400. I'll take Tampa Bay squish.
You know, I get the feeling if the Panthers are going to compete with Tommy and the World Champs, this is going to have to be the time.
The door is open. It's now or never.
If you're going to do it, this is it. I'm basically that. Just attrition, just nothing but the Bucks are beat up and susceptible to defenses that can bust them in the fucking mouth. And the Panthers will put forth effort and come after Tommy. I'll take the points. I'll take Carolina and the 10 points at home.
Yeah, we're definitely this makes sense. We're picking games 3 days out, and there's a lot of question marks on these games. So it makes sense that we're mostly underdog heavy.
I don't know what to make of any of these. I really don't.
No, this is a weird week. And yeah. You know, just the way that the calendar lines up with Christmas and you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day pretty much eating up when we would normally be doing our show, you know, it's just a quirk of the calendar.
We'd have a lot more clarity on some of these absences, that's for sure. All right, late afternoon games, Chicago, Seattle. Both teams out of the playoff race in the NFC. Chicago 4-10, Seattle 5-9. Bears are 6.5-point dogs at the Seahawks.
Yeah, as much as I've been crapping all over the Seahawks, I'm not taking the Bears going up there. Nice try against Minnesota, but even that wasn't good enough. Even Justin Fields throwing, you know, I'll throw in Kirk Cousins by two. They're just bad. I'll take the Seahawks here. I'll give the points. I'm not very confident with it. I can see this game going either way. It's so hard to have any faith or trust in the Bears right now, especially on the road in a spot like this. So if Seattle's got anything left, if they've got anything in the tank, it's a good spot to take out a little frustration.
Breaking news before I make this pick is I've put in the rest of the schedule except for the Monday night game, and I'm looking up and down at the pickings that are left for me, and I don't like any of them as far as potential locks.
Oh.
So let me officially do that live before we go
locking
up
the Bengals.
No, I am officially locking up Cincinnati -3 hosting Baltimore. Yes.
Oh, okay.
As far as Chicago, Seattle, I'm a Bears fan. Take everything I say about the Bears with a grain of salt.
Uh-oh.
Justin Fields against the Legion of Room.
Justin Fields?
Against the Legion of Room.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you have to say it like you can, like you taped it beforehand, like Justin Fields.
Look, I have a lot of confidence in Justin Fields. He might actually make some plays in this game. It could be a shockingly good connection for Chicago. I wish the defense wasn't so beat up. I might be on upset alert, but I'll take the points. I'll take the 6.5. Steelers and Chiefs. Pittsburgh 7-6-1. Kansas City 10-4. It's another really good team for the Steelers to play, so they won't be asleep in this one. At least they're going to be trying. No idea who's playing on either team. Just no idea. Devin Bush is gooped, but it's early enough. He might be able to get cleared. We know the tight end, Pat Freiermuth, would probably not play for the Steelers. He's coming off a concussion. Chiefs, that's the big question. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, both gooped along with many others, but happened early in the week. They may be cleared by Sunday. We just don't know. Jones and Ward in the defensive on the defensive side for the Chiefs are going to return from being gooped last week. So we got guys going on the goop list and guys coming off. And Josh Gordon also returns from the goop list, and that might be huge if Tyreek Hill does have to miss this game. They really might need Josh Gordon on the field there. So with all of that uncertainty, don't know how you feel about that, but Steelers are plus 10.5 at the moment at the Chiefs.
Oh, wow, because, yeah, I'm looking at the live line right now. It's 8.5, so you get the number back more towards where it opened. I liked that number moving down towards Kansas City, but I don't like that number at 10 and a hook. So go figure. I mean, so Casey's going to win by 9. That's how precise I am. Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs to not cover 10.5.
Okay. I don't want to do this, but the desperate times call for desperate measures. This is my second contingency pick. I'm putting it on both, on either one, on Kelce or Hill. If either Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill miss this game, I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers and the points. If they both get cleared and wind up playing, I'll take Kansas City and I'll give the 10.5. I think they can have the firepower on the field to overcome the Steelers and their pop gun offense. But if one of them is missing, I think the Steelers could keep it kind of close. So
if this was more regular strength, I actually think Kansas City would have been a good candidate to just blow the Steelers' doors off.
Yeah. So we'll see how that shakes down by Sunday. And the last late game is Denver-Vegas. They're both 7-7 in that AFC soup in the AFC West. They battled in Week 6 and Vegas went to Denver and came out on top 34-24. That was the first Rich Bisaccia. What's his name? Bisaccia.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't even know who their coach is now. Don't care.
That was his first game after the John Gruden canning. So in this one, the Broncos are, again, another one-point spread. Denver plus 1 at Vegas.
For the sake of brevity, I don't really care about this game. Raiders.
Okay. I did forget to mention that we briefly talked about the Teddy Bridgewater concussion. So Drew Locke is in line to be the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And
definitely Raiders.
Probably because of that, I feel pretty strongly in taking the Raiders along with you, although not strongly enough to lock that up. But in hindsight, maybe I should have. I don't know. And then we're not picking the Monday nighter. Remember, we're doing that on Twitter. So Sunday night football is the Potato Skins and the Cowboys. Washington coming off the short week, that game getting moved, and coming out on the short end against the Eagles. Washington at 6-8, Dallas at 10-4, coming off of beating the Giants. They just played a couple weeks ago, and Dallas won that game 27-20. Big defensive plays by the Cowboys pacing them in that one. And this one, Washington is plus 10 down in Jerry World.
Yeah, we don't know quite like what the total quarterback situation even is going to be for Washington. But, again, Dallas isn't exactly blowing teams out. Washington, despite the record not showing it, probably the second best team in this division. They're certainly the more consistent team. I think the Eagles are a little wild and a little over the place. They're sort of a one-dimensional team. I think this is enough for Washington to kind of linger around. I think that's a lot of points. So I'll take the points play again and go with Washington.
Yeah, we think Bierman is going to return a quarterback for Washington coming off.
Which actually makes me feel even better because I think he's good enough to keep him under the number.
But they look like they're going to have Antonio Gibson. He's got a bad toe. It looks like he's not going to play possibly for Washington. I think that's actually a big deal. He's been one of their more consistent players, probably their most consistent player on offense this season. Like I said, the short week, Mike McCarthy didn't make any guarantees this time, so that's good for Dallas. Washington is on the way out of playoff contention, so I'm going to go with Dallas to tromp them and cover the 10 points. More on our after show when we come back. All right, that leads us into our VIP after show program where we celebrate that we didn't get cut off this week, so that's good. We
what
heard each other clearly.
What happened in the after show last week? Because as soon as she said that, I could hear you like, what the hell? You know, cause that,
oh,
that
did you hear me?
Yeah, I could hear you real quick though, as she was cutting us out of the show saying, you know, thanks for using Paul. And you're like, what the? Yeah, I caught the real, because I'm just sitting here, and all of a sudden it's like, what? Show's over, folks. Go home.
Yeah, that was sort of old school where sometimes we're doing our after show thing and we get snipered where
Sniper.
Radio just says, you're done. It's over.
That was like 8 minutes in. They were just like, this show's over.
We're done with you. We've heard enough. Yeah, I don't know. That was just one of those things. I don't think that was a disconnection. Like, I don't think that was anything on my internet or anything. I think Walk Talk Radio was just finished with us. You're dead to me. Goes right out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm got six days off in a row now, so I got myself a nice little vacation here.
There you go.
So that's nice. And obviously, we're doing a whole bunch of, you know, obviously tomorrow we don't have much going on for the holidays, but yeah, Saturday we got to be three different, you know, we got Christmas here with the kids in the morning, then we got Christmas at the in-laws, then we're going over to a friend's house for the Packer game at 3:30. Sunday we gotta drive up north and go to my mom's, you know, so yeah, it's gonna be a couple of those days just doing all the Christmas thing, and then at least I get a few days after that to recover.
That's good. Yeah, it sounds like you're gonna need some recovery time after all that
and be home with the cute factors and have fun with them, enjoying their Christmas presents and all that. So
that's always great.
My daughter was funny because she wanted to have the headphones on while you to hear the intro. She like gets really excited by the intro. She thinks it's funny, and when the "Let's Go" comes on, she starts cracking up. You know, then the music comes on and she starts doing this like weird little like violin thing. Oh, you know, this is like, oh boy, like, oh, it must be the music. The Snake Charmer music is on.
She's feeling it.
I was, you know, it's too bad that this is, just an audio only, because yeah, she was really, she was really giving her all, she was selling it.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I'm imagining her doing the waving and the body dancing and
I'm trying to think, the last time you saw her was,
Oh God.
Yeah. She was little, you know,
When you brought her to Corky's, would that be it?
When I was sick, was that when my grandpa's funeral? Yeah. So that would have been, so you haven't seen her in probably 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's big now.
Yeah. Yeah. You told me
she's
5 feet.
Pushing 5 foot. Yeah. She's tall, tall kid, you know, and yeah. She has that sense of humor though. She's definitely, I know she drives my wife crazy because she's got my sense of humor. So just take that for what
God.
It's worth. Yeah.
Tell your wife my condolences. I can imagine. I can see her doing the whole Snake Charmer thing and the body dancing and wiggling her hips and all.
She was sitting in the chair next to me in the computer chair, and she just had her eyes closed, and she's doing this whole, like, weird thing with the, like, she's playing a violin. She's got her fingers all pinched together. Like, she's really getting into that, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad I found a theme song that touched somebody. At least
she definitely finds this whole thing entertaining/amusing that I do. So that's I think that might have come through a little bit when we did the live X Factor, Cute Factor show. You know.
Yeah. No, they seem like they were having a very good time on those live mics.
Yes, my kid's on the hot mic after a few minutes, because usually they're a little shy. I always have to tell them, you know, because they always want to. I give them a hard time a little bit because they're always like, "Well, we want to talk to Uncle Andre," and I'm like, "Are you gonna say anything?" Because I put the mic on, and you don't. You just sit there, and you look cute, but you just sit there with this kind of like dumb smile, and you don't say anything. You just give one word answers. I'm like, "You're on radio."
Yeah, and then but it's good. It gives me a little practice because I have to be the one to come up with something to get anything out of them.
The cute doesn't just project itself through the airwaves,
right? And you know they can't see me, and I'm smiling the whole time. I'm grinning just ear to ear every time I talk to them because I'm imagining their faces, and I'm imagining and they're just grinning and rocking back and forth and not saying anything, and then I'm grinning and I'm like, okay, I got to figure out something to get these guys to say something to me. So it makes me work harder I'm working on my interview skills.
These are not shy children, which is what's the most shocking thing, is they'll talk and talk and talk and talk.
Right. You just got to get it out of them. You got to open them up. So that's on me. If I wasn't such a poor interviewer, I would get them to open up. So I have to work on my skills.
And, you know what? After this week of games, we're only 2 weeks away from having little guest pickers again.
That's right. The guest coin comes up. It would be next week, except it's the longest season ever.
So we don't not just the coin though. Last year we had the kids pick the games.
Oh yeah. That's
so
right.
I'll run that out again for week 18.
I'm sure they'll love doing that.
Because I remember I believe Grant put up a 10 spot last week last year in week 17.
That's right. I wouldn't say he can't do it again either, because that's the last week of the season. That's how random it is.
And it'll be
never know.
The longest season ever continues.
Continues on.
January 9th is gonna. Oh, that should be wild card weekend.
I know. Remember when the Super Bowl happened in the middle of January? This is how old we are, folks.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You're lying. You remember it. The playoffs would start in December. And...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Christmas time would be like wild card time. Yeah, no.
Uh-huh.
That's another life. That was a different life.
It sure seems like it was. Yeah. That Bears Super Bowl shuffle, I believe, that Super Bowl win, what was the date? I think it was January 19th or January 20th, something like that.
January 20th, I believe it was.
1986, baby. Man, what a day.
Because 6 days later, the Challenger exploded.
Oh, what a juxtaposition.
I believe it was 6 days later. Sounds about right, 26th.
Yeah. I definitely was still in my Bears, feel-good mode, and everything was wonderful, and life was good, and then Miss Allen wheeled that TV in, and that was the end of that.
Now we're having our feel. Oh, it's the 28th. It was 8 days later. That's right, because that would make sense, because that was on a, you know, Super Bowl was on the 20th on a Sunday.
On a Sunday,
six days later would have been a Saturday. So,
yeah.
So there you go. January 28th. So 8 days after the Bears won the Super Bowl, that happened. So when you're thinking about that in context, like, we don't think of our lives in that word, wow, that those things happened 8 days apart. We don't think about that.
No, definitely not. Back then, 8 days felt like, you know, what 4 years feels like now.
I know. I can't imagine what it's like for my kids, because here I am thinking, like, it's just flying by and everything's going by so quick. And I'm like, no, you know, they're still on kid time.
They just started. It's flying by for us, but they just started. This whole thing is completely brand new to them. They're basically just getting here as far as, you know, our concept of time. Their lives still really just started. They haven't even experienced anything yet, to be honest. It's so much still ahead of them. But,
well, that's the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah, my Christmas is always going to be low-key here at home. Well, I say as always. It's different, of course, now in the era of COVID, because it would still be low-key, but at least it would be over at my wife's uncle's house, 30
right.
minutes away from here. But since COVID is still raging on, we went, like I said, to get the same thing we did for Thanksgiving, went to the grocery store to get all the accoutrement and the bird, the turkey, and get that all gathered up and then take it to his house so that he doesn't have to leave the house, go to the store and risk catching all the stuff that's out here. So we bring it to his house and he can cook it and eat it whenever he wants to. Her uncle is an incredible man. He's still going strong. I believe he turned 80 recently, or might even be older than that, maybe 81, something like that. Still kicking around, still going strong, you know, still basically in his house by himself, but not feeble and not just where you got to help him do everything. He still gets up and does the things that he has to do around his house. But just as far as food, we take care of that. His niece, my wife, does the bulk grocery shopping for him, just to save him from having to go up and go up in the stores and risk catching anything, you know, all
right.
the stuff that's going on. So yeah, we took the food over to him so he can heat that up on Christmas or whenever he wants and take care of himself that way. So yeah, that's the second year in a row we're gonna have to do that for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that sucks. You know, I miss being at his house. He has a nice extended family, nice big family that would come and hang out. And I met his family and those the people close to his family all throughout the years, and, you know, have friendships with them and look forward to seeing them every year. Of course, I always talked about his granddaughter, Alicia, who when we talk about time flying, excuse me, she was 19 or 20 when I moved down here in 2011 and got married. And she was the one, you probably wouldn't remember her, but she was taking pictures of us after we got married. She was down there on the ground getting the angles and taking pictures and being her 19-year-old bubbly self.
Yeah.
And in that period of time, 10 years now, she's actually gone through college, got her degree from North Texas, already quit that job, that industry, that business side of things, went out to L.A. in Hollywood, and is actually acting and has, you know, been in some movies and whatnot. So I always look forward to seeing her because I, you know, go, hey, Hollywood, and had the big smile that she has and to give her a hug, and just unbelievable to see the growth that she's gone through all these years, going from, you know, the 19-year-old to now the 29-year-old, 30-year-old young woman as she is. I always look forward to seeing her and giving her grief about Hollywood and hearing some of her stories about what that life is all about. But I miss all of them, not just her, but all the extended members of Uncle Milton's family. Man, I don't know when the hell this is going to turn around and finally start getting better. But there's a lot of lives that have been affected a lot worse than mine. So, I'm sour grapes up here, but a lot of people have gone through it a lot worse than me. But just it still sucks to have life just upended like this.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's two solid years that we've been going through this now. So you just want to. You just want to be done with it, right? You just want it to go back. And no, I don't know if it'll ever go back, but you want it to be as close to what it was before as possible.
Yeah, the dystopian nightmare is what this feels like. It really does.
Yeah, And then, you know, there's just, it's, I don't know what it's going to take or what's going to come next, but say it's just, we'll remember it. You know, you just want to, you know, hopefully we'll be 5 years, 10 years down the road, and we'll just look back on this period and go, man, that was wild.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. Hopefully. So it's affecting sports. We, of course, talk about the NFL. That's what we talk about every week. The NBA has had games that they had to cancel because teams were not able to field full squads. The NHL shut the league down until after the Christmas holiday. That's how bad it's affecting them. And there's been plenty of college basketball teams that had to forfeit. Just they don't have a squad. They couldn't make it to the school, make it to whoever they were going to play. So they just had to give up the free L. And, you know, I'm sure those coaches were very unhappy about all of that. There's even a subtext of that. Like the Sunday paper down here was talking about University of Memphis, who I believe they were going to play University of Tennessee last week, and that got canceled because one of the teams didn't have enough healthy players. And then that devolved from what I was reading into the, you know, one school says the other was afraid to play them, and the other school says, oh, no, you were afraid to play us. And it's like, really? We're going there with all this crap? So, you know, that's when the macho comes out, and you guys are just afraid of us. No, shut up. It has nothing to do with who's afraid of who. It's a friggin' pandemic going on. How do you people not understand this? So there's, you know, college sports in particular can really devolve into crap like that. I think that's more likely to happen there than anywhere else with all of these coaches that have to, you know, talk about, oh, I'm growing men here. And no, you're just a basketball coach. Just calm down. You're not really that important. But yeah, it's just continues to go on and affecting everything. And yeah, just, I don't know what else to say. Just hope that it ends next year at some point. I'm looking at the next trip that we have planned, the next cruise that we have at the end of February, and I'm afraid of that now with this, the way Omicron, whatever it's pronounced, the way it's going through everything. I would not be the least bit surprised if we go back to, you know, canceling cruises and canceling vacations and things like that, just because no one knows how to stop this or when, how else can you stop it except to just cancel everything. And not even because you're necessarily afraid of who's going to get sick, but just out of legal reasons. Like, you don't want anyone to get sick on your property, and then now you're liable for all of that.
Right. I hopefully, you know, we don't get there, but you just don't know. It's so hard to predict this, you know, where we're going to be, you know, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. You just want to, you know, I think the last thing I want to see is more shutdown. Like, getting locked down again, that would be rough. Having to do all the, going through that with the kids, with school, and not being able to work and going through all that disruption. That's the one thing I would be, like, really, really happy to avoid.
I would want to avoid that as well, but I'm afraid. I don't know. I'm afraid of it. I think I was reading somewhere about some school board starting to order in some more computers, thinking that they're going to have to start sending these kids home with tablets again. We might be going back to that. So, yeah, I know.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, with Omicron, which is, like we talked about on the last show, which is a far less virulent strain. But you said the key word, fear. And fear has been driving everything.
Yep. There's a lot of fear of the unknown.
A lot of fear. A lot of fear. A lot of fear of death. It's the only guarantee, I believe. We can't stop people. You can't stop dying. People are, you know, that's the hard part.
Yeah, you can't stop dying, but you want to figure out how to stop something that can be prevented. You know, the method of dying. You don't want people to die from this if you can stop it, if you can prevent it. You want them to live on so that they can go die from something else, from whatever cancer is going to eventually kill us all.
I don't want that person with stage 4 cancer to get COVID and die. I want them to die of stage 4 cancer.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Let him die of what he was supposed to die from.
That's right. You went too soon. You went 3 weeks too soon.
Yes.
I mean, no, obviously, it's all injustice. It's not meant to be, you know. Nothing's out of bounds here on this show.
And we joke because we don't know how else to figure this stuff
That's
out.
Right.
We don't know how else to cope with it.
I'll leave the serious stuff to the serious people.
Yes, the people that are actually educated and trained to figure this stuff out, because I'm definitely not that.
No, and I don't pretend to know how to figure my way out of this. Just, you know, you hope for the best, and then everybody stays healthy, and we keep doing what we're doing, and, you know, I'm healthy, you're healthy, kids healthy, or, you know, just keep those people around you healthy.
We're doing what we can. I'm, you know, continuing to mask up everywhere I go and trying to stay as far away from people as I could. This was not fun in the store this evening because not only were people not masked up, but it's about the worst thing that you could imagine. Some of the unmasked people were coughing and sick standing there in the fucking store. And I'm like, really? This is what we're doing? Really? Like, the only thing that could have made it worse is if they walked right over to me and started coughing on my face. Which I wouldn't have been surprised if that would have happened, because that's where we are. So a lot of people that wanted that are not just sick, but like proud of it. Like, yeah, I probably got the COVID. Yeah, it's people are crazy out here, man.
Yeah, I'm not the one out there running around putting masks on everywhere I go. But if I was sick, I'd be at home.
If you're sick, stay home. That seems to be such common sense.
It's simple, yeah. There's still... You know, no matter what your take is on this whole thing, there's still that common sense part of it. It's like, you know, if you got a cold or, you know, any of that, right, just do the right thing. Just stay home.
Please. Please do the right thing. Is there any upbeat thing that we can talk about before we get out of here on the down note? Or
no. I'm pretty beat. It's been this stretch of getting through to this point. Has kind of wiped me out. Even though I was off the last couple of days, I was, you know, doing stuff at the shovel. That's been fun. You know, the other day we were supposed to get the dusting of snow. It turned into a full inch of snow, and so I had to go out and get the sidewalks all done and the driveway all done. You know, no small amount of real estate to run out there and have to shovel to clean up. So my wife will not be happy if she has to. She doesn't like driving on it in the driveway because it leaves behind tire tracks. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You want to have that driveway clean. You don't want to have those two nasty ruts of snow, because then those just build up on top of each other, and then you end up with this uneven driveway. And there you go. That's been my last couple of days moving furniture. Let's get ready for the holidays. I'm ready to get to bed and get to enjoying these days off. So I wake up in the morning.
It's good that she's got you trained. You're just like all the other husbands. My wife's got me trained on the things I have to keep done. And
yeah,
is happy wife, happy life is what I keep hearing. To which I sometimes respond, is there such thing as a happy husband? Because I don't remember hearing.
Nobody seems to care too much about that.
Yeah, it's such is life. It is what it is.
Yeah, but we're right, okay with that. We expect that.
Yeah, that's pretty much how we knew it was going to be when we got married, I think. So I don't think there's been too many big surprises.
Oh, from that standpoint, no.
Yeah, from 10 years of matrimony for each of us.
Yeah, at this point in the game, if you're still hitting surprises, don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Pay better attention, I think, is what.
Yeah,
should have
known what you were signing up for.
All right. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you
Merry
and your
Christmas
family.
To you.
Yep. And we got football Saturday later on after they open the presents and whatnot. And football on Sunday, and we'll be back with the regular date and time for our football party next Saturday, New Year's Day. Did we decide on that?
Oh, yeah, that night would be the most, that would make the most sense to just do it on that Saturday night because all the festivities are the night before.
Right.
So I'll be beat, but, you know, that's going to make the most sense because do we have Saturday games next week?
I don't believe so.
Oh,
I
no.
Think 17 and 18 are Sunday only.
Oh, that's interesting.
This is the last Thursday night.
You're right. All the games are 1-2, and then there's a Monday nighter. So it's a very about as normal of a week, old school normal of a week, as you know, no Thursday night game, no Saturday games. This really is old school.
Yep. So there you go. Saturday night, the first day of the year, January the 1st, will be our next show, the full football party, recapping this week 16 and getting you ready for week 17. And once again, remember, a lot of craziness, a lot of uncertainty as far as who's playing, who's not. We both reserve the right, in addition to our contingencies, to make changes for our picks depending on who's playing and who's not. Again, follow us on Twitter for those changes. I am at IMLDDre. Jay is at IMLDJTG. We will get those out as timely as we could if we have any other changes. But the ones that we documented live on the show, I definitely have the asterisk put in place for when you see these picks up on the blog site. And with that, I think we are finished.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, because Happy New Year after the next show.
That's right. All right. He's Jay. I am Dre for the Cute Factor, Cute Factor 1, who joined early in the show. We thank you all for listening, and we sign off, and we wish all of you, of course, a very Merry Christmas. And for all of you fellow Skinner alums, I'm sorry to trigger you once again, but get those fingers ready. And everyone have a Merry Christmas.
Jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air. What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle Bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle bell.